Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio, working in association with the Legal Corner here on EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Mr. Joe Dickerson, founder and CEO at Financial Forensic Services, a domestic and international judgment enforcement firm that conducts financial forensic research worldwide to locate and document assets to satisfy significant civil judgments in favor of the victim. Should be an interesting conversation. And Mr. Dickerson, thanks for your time and joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
And you're certainly welcome, and looking forward to hearing from you today in all regards. So for starters, what makes you a leading expert on judgment enforcement? I'm sure your response would be quite interesting.
Well, I've been doing this work one way or another for about 55 years. Started in law enforcement as the detective sergeant in Houston, and then was a founding member of the Organized Crime Bureau with the Houston Harris County District Attorney's Office. So we were always doing investigations of fraud and other malfeasance. My particular interest was beyond just catching the bad guys, was recovering the losses from the victims. And of course, in law enforcement, as soon as you catch the bad guys, you've got two or three more cases to move on, and there is not a high priority on making recoveries, which made me always feel like we were only doing half the job. And I owned my own company off-duty doing consulting for the oil and gas companies in Houston, and they were always asking me to look at matters that were beyond the scope of their corporate security people, and of course they were interested in getting their money back. So after 11 years in law enforcement, I made the decision to leave and run my business. I was making four or five times as much off duty as I was on duty, and I never wanted to have a conflict or a perceived conflict. But my passion, again, was recovering the losses for my clients. So that's how we got started.
And that is quite a background to lead things off here today. I was about to ask you also, how did you actually get into the business?
Well, after the bottom dropped out of the oil market in the early 80s, that was followed by the demise of the banking and finance industries around the country. And, of course, I lost all my clients in a matter of about 4 to 6 weeks. So I relocated to Colorado, where I had a vacation home. And my first client up here was the legal department of FDIC that was taking over all the failed banks. And they had gazillions of judgments on the bank books, and they had a lot of special cases they called officer and director liability cases, where the bank officers were working with their clients on the outside to get funds out before the bank failed. And in exchange for that, the officers of the bank often were hired as the chief financial officer for their customers, with the understanding they didn't have to pay the loan back because the bank was going to fail and FDIC was taking it over. And of course, they were interested in recovering the funds from all these judgments, but they had neither the manpower nor the expertise to do that work. So I was hired as a consultant to the legal department of FDIC, and they would assign one of their paralegals, an attorney and a staff investigator, to augment my staff. I managed the recovery process of our combined teams, and a few months into that, my light bulb came on one day, and I said, heck, this is a business, and nobody's doing it. So I just revamped my entire business back then to do either pre-judgment due diligence or post-judgment forensic research to find and document and recover the assets that were lost that resulted in those judgments. And that's what I've done ever since the latter part of the 80s is concentrate on that business. And we've been really blessed. We've moved from local to state to national and now international with our practice.
Well, I have no doubt that you're making quite an impact, and it is outstanding that you are in business and have financial forensic services in place for those that need it and to tap into that as well. Now, why do you think, tell us, why are 80% of the civil judgments in the U.S. never collected or enforced?
Well, again, law enforcement doesn't have the priority there, nor does SEC on the securities fraud side. You know, their typical process is to catch the bad guy, spank him on the hand, and say, you've been naughty. We're going to give you an order saying you can never do this again, and you're going to have to agree to that, plus a restitution order. So the bad guys quickly sign that and agree, but never pay the money back, and SEC has other matters to move on to. So only on rare occasions do they actually get into successful recovery. I think another good example of that is I had a con man who we had worked with on three occasions that would embezzle people out of their money. And I won't go into the details of his process now because I know we have limited time. But the fourth time I got him, I said, heck, we've made 100% recovery every time. When it starts to get down to really squeezing him, he pays. So I called, made an appointment with him to meet me at the restaurant in a local country club here in Denver for breakfast on Saturday morning. And we had breakfast, had a nice chat. It was nothing personal for either of us. And after breakfast, I said, Frank, I'm sure you know that the reason I called you is because we have another judgment that runs significantly over $1 million, and we're going to have to figure out how you want to handle getting this paid. But before we talk about that, I have a question for you. He said, sure, Joe, what's that? I said, why do you do it? And he said, hand me your yellow pad. And he drew an inverted pyramid and drew a line across the top part of it, and he said, right here is 35% of my victims, and they never know what happened, so I get to keep all of their money. And he drew another line, and he said, 25% of the people think something went wrong, but they're not sure what to do about it, so I keep all their money. And then there's another 20% that know they were taken, hire an attorney, but never go to judgment, and I keep all their money. And then there's a 15% down here toward the bottom. They hire an attorney, get a judgment, but the attorneys never find where I have moved the money to, so I get to keep all of that. And then there's a 5% down here at the bottom tip of this pyramid, and he said, that 5% are people that will hire somebody like you and this damn attorney that you work with, and when I know you guys are after me, he said, I just write a check. He said, that is the cost of doing business, and 5% is a pretty modest investment. I don't have to pay attorneys to fight you, and I move on to my next case, and you're happy because your people get 100% of their money. So that's why I do it.
And what you just shared right there is absolutely amazing and a vivid picture, the way you described it as well. Today we're joined by Mr. Joe Dickerson, founder and CEO at Financial Forensic Services, a domestic and international judgment enforcement firm, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, Mr. Dickerson, why does this fraud business continue to be such a lucrative industry?
Well, it is a business where there are like I say, 80% of the time those judgments are never enforced, and that's what we specialize in. I also own a continuing legal education firm, so I've trained attorneys around the country, and FBI, IRS, SEC, Texas Rangers, and all these to help as a public service. I want law enforcement to have as much information as they can, but they don't get involved in civil cases. And I did a survey, had my company do a survey about 3 years ago, and we found the top 50 law schools in the United States. I had my people contact either the registrar or the dean of those law schools. We did not talk to some student that was on a work scholarship answering telephones. We talked to the person that was in charge of the law schools, and we had only one question for them. And that question was, what do you have in your curriculum that teaches your students how to enforce civil judgments? And there was always a pause, and then three of the 50 responded by saying, oh, judgment enforcement. Well, I tell you, we talk about that for an hour or two in our creditors' rights course each semester. So, consequently, the lawyers are not really taught effective ways to enforce the judgments. So they get mentored after they get their degree by older attorneys that have always done what they've always learned to do and what they normally do, and that is, you know, send a few subpoenas out, get the debtor in for a debtor's exam, and in the debtor's exam or deposition, same thing, by the nature of the questions they ask the debtor, they actually are telling them what they know and where they're headed with the case. And the debtors never bring the documents they're supposed to bring. They said, oh, you wanted my financial statements. We're still working on getting those together. And, well, what about your bank statements and your tax returns? Oh, my wife takes care of that, and she's working with our CPA, and as soon as that gets done, I'll get you a copy. Well, ultimately, the majority of that never happens. And consequently, by the nature of the questions, the debtor learns more about what's happening, and then they can go out and hide their assets even further. And it gets to the point where you have the point of diminishing return, and the clients run out of money, and the attorneys run out of questions, and the case still doesn't get done. And we come in with the new approach of what I call diagnostic and prescriptive judgment enforcement, because my belief is if you don't properly diagnose the problem, you can never prescribe the proper solution. It's just like a medical situation. You know, if the doctor thinks you have indigestion and they don't determine that it's a heart problem, they can't give you what you need to either correct your problem or do surgery to correct it. And so we go in much deeper. We don't allow the attorneys that we hire to take a deposition until we've got at least 80 or 90% of the question answered by our forensic research, get it documented, and then those things that we can't answer, we do have the attorneys do a deposition. But the purpose of that is really to get as much perjury on the record as we can, because perjury is against the law, and theoretically you can go to jail for it, so we have a little more leverage when we get down to that last 20% or less. And we also have to tell our clients as quickly as we can if we find out there are not assets there to satisfy, we will recommend that they drop the case for now, not dismiss it, because judgments in most states are good for anywhere from 5 to 20 years, and you can renew them. So I always recommend that we back off, periodically peep at the bad guy and see if they're getting back on their feet, and have some businesses operating, some real estate investments, and so forth. And then we can reopen the case and be much more successful with our endeavors and the client's budgets.
Sounds like 55 years, there's never been a dull moment. And again, we're greatly appreciative of what you do in the space and for the impact you're having through financial forensic services as well. As we conclude, I'd be curious, I'm sure the listeners would be as well, why are you willing to share your knowledge and your processes with others?
Well, when I was a kid growing up, I either wanted to be a minister or a detective. Go figure. And I decided after going to Methodist College and that I just couldn't see myself standing in the pulpit telling people how to live their lives, but I did want to make a contribution, so I went into law enforcement. And it, again, is my passion to see that as many victims as possible can actually recover their losses. So the more people I can teach how to do this, you know, if somebody I've taught the process takes a client from me, I didn't deserve to have that client to start with. And there's more work than all of us can ever possibly even scratch the surface on. So my passion now is not only representing my clients, but rolling out what we have proven to be successful, help the attorneys do a better job, work with them to solve their clients' problems, and get as much of this done possibly before I can no longer work. I'm 78 years old, come to work every day, and plan to continue to do this until they close the lid on my casket.
And I'd say those last words is a great place to conclude today. Your passion, determination, and persistence certainly comes out loud and clear with your message, and it is certainly passion, and we can't thank you enough for taking a moment to be with us here today, and an honor to have met you as well. Where can listeners connect with you and also get more information on financial forensic services?
Well, our office number is 303-974-5610, and we're open 8 to 5, 5 days a week. My personal email is simply our company name. It's joe@financialforensicservices.com. So it's joe@financialforensicservices.com. Anybody that has a question, I'm more than happy to answer them. If they have a problem, if I can't help them get a resolution to that problem, we'll recommend somebody that can.
And I'd say that is quite an opportunity to be able to connect with you via the telephone and email. Again, folks, for more information, it is financialforensicservices.com. Mr. Dickerson, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Anytime. Let's do it again. We've been speaking with Mr. Joe Dickerson, founder and CEO at Financial Forensic Services, a domestic and international judgment enforcement firm that conducts financial forensic research worldwide to locate and document assets to satisfy significant civil judgments in favor of the victims. And for all the details, visit financialforensicservices.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.